Were you ever bullied when you were young? How did you get over it? More importantly, did you ever get over it? My next guest you're going to love. His name is Nick Hayes, and he's a retired Navy SEAL. But Nick is not your typical SEAL guy. After cutting weight as a wrestler, his growth was severely stunted. Standing just over 5 feet tall, he was often bullied as a kid and was laughed at when he told others of his dream to become a member of one of the world's most elite units. Nick learned that what first seemed like a deficiency was indeed his greatest strength because it made him immune to adversity. After leaving the SEAL teams following 10 honorable years, he tried out for a paramilitary unit within the CIA. His operating days came to an end when he ruptured a disc while preparing for an operation in Afghanistan. After several surgeries, Nick fought back, and now he is doing amazing work with the public and private sector. He is also a best-selling author. His book, titled Elite, is High Performance Lessons and Habits from a Former Navy SEAL. This is such an amazing show. You're going to get so much from it. In this interview, Nick and I talk about how to overcome your fear, because we all have it, developing that proper mindset like we always talk about, and going after your dreams, and much more. Check it out next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. So excited you're here. First and foremost, I want to give a big shout out to all those brave men and women out there working in the criminal justice field. Whatever you are doing, thank you for doing it. We love you all. We support you. Keep up the fantastic work. I want to take a moment and give a big shout out to our sponsors. First, Detecticam. This amazing company is helping keep our brave men and women who protect us every day safer by providing mobile threat detection available for the palm of your hands, detecting illicit drugs. I wish they had this when I was on the job for many years, but it detects illegal drugs, explosives. If you head over to the website, click on the link to Detecticam, see what they can do for your organization. Folks, I am a huge fan of Onnit. Who is Onnit? Onnit is total human optimization. We're athletes, biohackers, professionals, retirees, firefighters, police officers. We're all human trying to get a little better at what we love every day. The human body is our instrument that we play to achieve greatness, and optimizing it for peak performance requires the proper nutrition, fitness, and supplementation. Onnit provides these foundations to support your human journey. And I'm so excited to announce the Alpha Brain Golden Ticket Sweepstakes. To celebrate selling over 1 million bottles of Alpha Brain, Onnit is doing something special to say thanks to you. Inside each new purchase of Alpha Brain, 30 and 90 count bottles, during the sweepstakes period, customers will receive a golden ticket, a special pass that grants access to one of thousands of prizes, including the grand prize experience, an all-expense paid trip to Onnit HQ in Austin, Texas. Every entry is an instant winner. Check out your Alpha Brain golden ticket link in the show notes. Are you struggling to keep up and manage your department's extra duty program? That's where Extra Duty Solutions can help. Extra Duty Solutions helps law enforcement agencies add efficiency and effectiveness to their extra duty programs while allowing them to focus on what really matters, and that's the safety of their citizens. They work with law enforcement agencies to administer their extra duty programs. They handle client interaction, scheduling, program resolution, cash flow management. They do it all. And best of all, their services are provided at no cost to the department and minimal cost to the clients. Their programs can be customized to meet the goals and unique needs of any agency. If you head over to extradutysolutions.com, that's extradutysolutions.com, you're going to see their amazing services. Tell them Patrick from CJ Evolution sent you. On to the show with Nick Hayes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I'm very excited to have my next guest on the show, Nick Hayes. Welcome, sir.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you, man. I mean, I know we kind of had some issues connecting, but you're here, and I am very, very grateful, and I know the listeners will be too. Nick, you know, I said in the intro, you're a SEAL. You're doing great work. We're going to talk about elite team performance. I always ask military and law enforcement, But I'm going to ask you, what made you want to become a Navy SEAL?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, right? Because everybody's coming from somewhere. For me, it was interesting. I moved around a lot growing up, every 2 years or so, which was challenging as a young man, but also gave me some really good tools socially. And it made me rely heavily on athletics. Whenever I moved to a new place, I could always, you know, punch in with a group, be it wrestling, football, track, whatever, and develop some really good friends and some support and stuff around me. When I left Utah and went to Tucson, Arizona, I think it was my seventh grade year, I met a group of guys and just phenomenal people. Two of them were brothers. And we started doing crazy stuff immediately. You know, we were all on the wrestling team, but we started hiking over mountains. You know, we started like doing just really stuff nowadays at that age. Even looking back, I don't know if I'd let my son do it, you know?
Yeah.
And the older brother, his name was Mike, he got this idea. And this is before SEALs were as prominent as we are nowadays, you know, when it comes to movies and books and stuff like that. Not many people even knew what it was. I think there was one movie with Charlie Sheen in it back in the day.
I remember that movie.
So, you know, it just wasn't out there as much. And Mike found out about it and he starts talking about it. We thought he was crazy at first. We're like, okay, buddy. And then we started looking more into it. I think there was a good book too by Dick Couch that kind of talked about training and Hell Week and, you know, what the training process looked like, the massive attrition, how and why people quit. And, you know, I saw some of that material and I was really enamored by this idea of Hell Week and the fact that so many people quit. People who say they'll die before they quit just change their minds and walk away. That was so intriguing to me that I was all in. So seventh, eighth grade or so, you know, me and my friends started training with logs, practicing log PT and like just doing ridiculous stuff. Crazy conditioning runs in the desert sun. We even started training like some drown proofing and pool technique stuff, whatever we could get our hands on, whatever we found out they were doing at Bud's, you know, SEAL training, we started doing as kids. And it's hilarious looking back because out of that group of a few guys, three of us actually made it, were SEALs. One joined the Navy. One of them played semi-pro baseball. Just a really exceptional group. But the fact that three childhood friends.
That's amazing.
Had the idea in seventh grade and actually carried it out is still remarkable to me. But that's what it was. I like the idea of training. So much so that after I made it through Hell Week, after I started getting to the end of the program, I really had to ask myself, what does a SEAL do? know, like I hadn't really thought through it. It's just that idea of a crucible.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like we're taught our entire lives, self-preservation. You know, you get injured, you got to recover, all this stuff. But for 1 week of your life, you're allowed to just say, you know what, let's let go of everything, burn it down, strip me down to bone and blood, and let's see what's left.
Yeah.
No self-preservation, just jumping into the black abyss and seeing how you come out. That was so enticing for me. And I'm thankful to have had that experience too. It's something I've drawn on time and time again in my life.
Well, it's amazing to me, Nick, that you had that discipline. I mean, I have kids, you have kids, that you had that discipline at such a young age to, all right, we're going to go run 10 miles today. We're going to, you know, we're going to do log training. We're going to do drown proofing. I mean, it's just amazing. You don't, I mean, shit, I think about when I was a kid, I'm like, I was just worried about myself and not getting into shape and stuff like that. I mean, it's just amazing that you had that mindset at a very young age. Did you come from a military family or what?
No. Both my grandparents had served, but they didn't talk about it. You know, it was that kind of generation. Yeah. My dad was in retail. You know, it definitely wasn't a family thing. I think part of it was kind of the upside of groupthink. You know, I think Stephen Covey has that quote, you're the sum of the top five people that you spend the most time
with. Yeah.
And we just had such a solid group and we were always pushing each other that it rubs off. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, if you have a hot cup of coffee and a ice cube, you drop the ice cube in the hot cup of coffee, neither object's going to stay the same. That temperature is going to equalize. The ice is going to become water. The coffee is going to become cool. you know, you are going to become like the people that you're around. And I was fortunate to be around a bunch of people that were on fire.
Yeah.
Because it really kept me lit. It kept me going. And that's something even on the backside of my service, after, you know, separating from the teams, from the Navy, and then looking at the next step, turning the page, looking out the rear or the, you know, the mirror, and just going forward, what was that going to look like? I knew that one of the most important things was going to be to surround myself that were like what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, people that were going to keep that fire burning. If someone's really negative, if someone isn't, you know, keeping pace, or they always have a reason or an excuse, I have to mark that as like a buyer beware. That's I'm going to start to pick up some of those traits if I'm around it too much.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be around people like that and influence positively, but that inner circle, man, you got to make sure that, they're going the same direction. Like I tell people, hey, if you want to gain some weight, if you want to be less healthy, then you should hang out with people with poor eating habits. Mm-hmm. It's going to work. It's going to work.
Yeah.
If you want to start running and you want to start putting on some distance, you should probably hang out with a bunch of runners, share ideas, sharpen the blade. You know, ancient wisdom says iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Mm-hmm. And it's just so true. You know, we need to stay around people that are going to keep our blades sharp. And that always comes from friction. It's not always a positive experience. Like you and I were talking, you had Remy Adeleke on the program. Mm-hmm. He's one of my accountability partners. Me and him work in that capacity to where if I'm slacking in an area, he's going to let me know. He's not going to hold back. He's going to be kind. It's going to come from a place of love. And I'm going to pay him the same respect.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have the hard conversations with each other, and we're going to do it from a place of love. And that's what keeps the blade sharp.
And isn't it amazing, Nick, that, I mean, so many people out there that are struggling, maybe if you're listening right now, you're struggling with things, and it's so easy. And maybe I'm just maybe being a little naive, but I think it's when it comes to getting out of funks and surrounding yourself with the right people that are going to push your personal needle where you want to go, it's easy. And I don't know why so many people just would rather choose, you know, to be in the same place, mediocrity, than just going for it. Because like you said, you know, it's about failing. It's about kind of getting that resistance. That's how we grow. But so many people just are stuck in the same rut. They're hanging around with the people that aren't going anywhere. They aren't doing anything for them. And a lot of people are just stuck. So what would you tell people that are listening right now that, you know, are thinking about this? I mean, I know action is part of it, but what else?
Well, I have a compassion for this issue, because it's kind of like physical fitness. I used to always say working out is easy. Having a routine is easy. Why aren't people just getting at it? Mm-hmm. And then I had something happen to me to where, you know, I injured my back. I was contracting overseas. And I ended up having to get a L5-S1 spinal fusion. So they said, oh, it's like 6 months recovery. that was a lie. You know, maybe it was fused at 6 months, but it took a solid 2 years to get back to a point that I could do burpees, you know, to where I felt like I could be physically fit again. And having lost that routine, you know, having become used to maybe playing video games. That first 6 months you play video games, you know,
yeah.
And you start changing that routine. Getting back into that, I was given a newfound respect for people that are starting at a zero or a one and trying to get to a 10. Mm-hmm. Before, I was always just sitting at an 8. Maybe I would drop to a 7. It's like, I just got to pick it back up to a 9, you know, and it's just a lot easier to self-correct. But when you're starting at a 1, it's one of the more challenging things that I've ever done. So as far as actually getting started, here's what I would say is incorporate this basic understanding in your life, which is this. There is not a single organism on this planet that is staying the same. There is no such thing as status quo. Every single thing, you look out your window, everything out there is either growing or dying. Nothing is staying the same. This does not change, and it's true for people. Mm-hmm. You're either improving or in decline. You're either growing or you're dying. And here's something that is really important to understand is that dying is easy. Anyone can die. Mm-hmm. Dying is easy. Growth is always challenging. It's always hard. If you want to grow your muscles, you get into the gym, you expose them to a little bit of a workout, a little bit of stress, and guess what? They're going to respond by growing and preparing themselves for the next time they're given that challenge. That's how muscle growth happens. It's the same way with your mind. if you want to sharpen your mind, then guess what? Start doing drills, start doing exercises, start learning, start reading, start surrounding yourself with information and teach your brain how to learn, how to grow. This is true in every aspect of our lives, mm-hmm. is that we just have to understand we're making a choice. Every day you wake up and you're making a choice. Today, am I going to die or am I going to grow? So start with that fundamental understanding, and that'll give some gravity to your decisions. These decisions that seem like they're not really that big of a deal. You know, like an example, one thing that I struggle with is every once in a while, I'll get done with the day. It's a challenging day. You know, I'm in my jammies. I lay down in my bed, you know, laying there with my wife or whatever. And then I'll remember the fact, you know, you're all ready for bed and you forget to brush your teeth. So what, are you just going to go to sleep? Let your teeth rot?
No, you got to get
something
up.
Something that's not going to even grow back. Once they're gone, they're no. You get out of bed and you brush your teeth. It's that simple. You're going to do it. You know, days when you wake up and it's like, hey, I don't want to get my workout today. You know, things aren't quite right. It's raining outside. I don't have the energy. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Just make peace with the fact that you just chose to die a little bit today.
Yeah.
Add some gravity, add some weight to these decisions. And I think that serves as a fuel to actually, you know, get the tough stuff done.
Yeah.
And then number two is this. Once you get that ball rolling, oh, it gets so much easier. Like I've gotten into running shape before, you know, to where I kind of mix up my routine throughout the year. So maybe I'm growing mass a little bit and I'm like, all right, time to make sure I can still run, you know, in the event of the zombie apocalypse, right? So I start training running again. I don't go out there and try to pick up where I left off. I don't get out there and run 10 miles. No way. You know, I just run that day. Yeah. I just make sure I get a run in.
You're moving.
2 weeks. Yeah, I'm just really easy on myself. If I feel like stopping up a hill and walking up a hill and then picking it back up, I do it. I give myself those 2 weeks. You know what I mean? If the run needs to be only a mile, that's fine. I started running because more often than not, I keep going. Mm-hmm. I know that those first few steps are the hardest. But if you give yourself that 2 weeks, then by the time you're able to push yourself and try a little bit hard, you know, add some difficulty to whatever it is we're talking about. You know, this analogy applies to more than running. It's anything. Mm-hmm. By the time you're able to push yourself, it's become routine. And once it becomes routine, oh, forget about it. You're moving. You're going.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at how you can challenge yourself more. Now it's not the pain anymore. It's the time. Can I do it for time?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever the KPIs are that you're trying to meet. You know, how can I improve? It's not about getting started anymore. It's about optimizing your performance, right? But it starts with one, the recognition you're choosing to grow or you're choosing to die.
And I think, and I love that. And I think sometimes people get wrapped up in this fear of what other people are going to say about them. Because I think people are, once, and you know, Nick, once you start kind of straying from the herd, what other people are doing, this goes back into who you're surrounding yourself with. I think people, and I know because I've been there before, shit, what are they going to say about me if I try to do this? I don't want to be ridiculed. So I'll just go ahead and stay in the same rut I'm in. And I think another thing, in my opinion, is we live in this instant gratification society where a lot of people, in my experience, don't want to put in any work. They just want shit to just fall in their lap and take a pill and lose all this weight. It doesn't work that way.
That's just the truth. We live in this society that wants to take a pill. You got a headache, you know, take two of these, call me in the morning. You want some food, drop it in the microwave. You're 45 seconds from a meal. You know, our ancestors might have been a 45-day hunt. Yeah, so, you know, we have these attention spans that we just expect immediate gratification. But I think the answer to that is, you know, nothing good ever comes that quickly.
Yeah.
Nothing. Relationships that matter don't come that quickly. You know, the best things actually cost you something. So if it is challenging, if it is causing you to be outside of your comfort zone, just recognize that that means it's better. It's higher quality. It's worth having. Mm-hmm. The things that, you know what the easiest thing to get is spam mail. That'll come to your door no matter what. Like you don't have to try to get spam
mail.
Just comes. Go ahead and click on those links. Go ahead and click on those links and see what happens to your hard drive, right? Nothing good comes that fast. You know, like people want to be out of pain. They're struggling with, you know, whatever it is they're struggling with. So they start taking Oxycontin.
Yeah.
Oh, that was easy. Now I feel great. Guess what?
Yeah.
You've bound yourself by something that could be your end.
Yeah.
You know, it came easy. There was immediate gratification, but it's the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, instead of maybe relying on the pills, you find a good physical therapist. You tune your body back up. You move things into the right position. You take the time and you do the work. Yeah. Now that's going to last for your entire life. The quality is so much higher that the juice is worth the squeeze. And the other thing is this, talking about the sin of comparison, which is something we all do. I've done it today.
Yeah.
That's something I don't know we'll ever be free from that, but you know, you have to be aware of it and you have to not let it stifle your movements, but allow it for a second. So what if we say, okay, so what are other people doing? What are other people doing? They're probably not working hard. They're probably not committing themselves. So if you don't mind going the hard road, doing the work, sticking it out, having grit, just know that you have a competitive advantage against 90% of the people around you.
Exactly.
They won't be able to get done what you're getting done.
Exactly.
So enjoy it for that moment. Enjoy it for that moment. And the other thing, as far as like actually combating that fear of comparison, one, cut yourself some slack, right? Just know that if you don't put it on Instagram, no one's going to know you're doing it. You could run right past them on the street. They're not going to look up from their phone because they're checking your Instagram. Mm-hmm. No one's going to know what you're doing. Do it for you. Don't do it for them. I understand people who say, hey, I want to lose some weight or whatever, so I'm going to, you know, post my progress on Instagram and that'll give me the motivation to keep going. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying if you're worried about ridicule, if you're worried about the other stuff, then don't incorporate. Who cares? Who cares about them?
Yeah.
Why? I mean, why are you serving people that you don't even really care about? Like, do it for you.
Yeah.
You know, do it for your stakeholders, for the people that love you. Do it for your kids so that you can play with them for the rest of their lives. You know, do it for the reasons that matter, not for everybody else's opinion. And, you know, one saying that I had a platoon chief, Jim, used to always say this. Like, I got in trouble once, right? And it's the biggest deal in the world. I'm a new guy in a SEAL platoon. I got in trouble. Oh, man, the sky is falling. I'm freaking out. And he starts laughing at me, and he goes, Nick, just be quiet, do your work until the next guy screws up. And that's all they'll be talking about. Like, give it a day and a half.
And that's true. That's true at any service and definitely in law enforcement, you know. You'll be yesterday's news, you know, in a couple hours.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So why are you worried about it? It's going to take care of itself. You know, time has it. We're such fickle human beings. You know, our memories are so bizarre. Like, we only hang on to the information that we practice hanging on to.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we choose to remember, the conversations we have with people, the stories that we tell because they were funny. You know, those are the ones that we're exercising that neural pathway, that access to the filing cabinet, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that we don't practice tend to go away.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, I've never done hypnotherapy, but I guess they can call on that stuff. But in your day-to-day life, like, you never, it just goes away. And just be mindful of the fact that that's true for everybody else, too.
Well, and
you turn on the news, there's this big scandal. Yeah. Someone's in trouble with Hollywood. It's what everybody's talking about. The next day, it's somebody else, and you can't even remember what they were talking about.
That's the news cycle today.
I mean, and that's training people's minds to move on and function that same way. So lighten up, you know. Give yourself a break. You could completely fail and fall flat on your face. No one's going to remember. Actually, everybody who does is going to be dead anyway.
Yeah.
It just, I mean, everything is so temporary. We spend a majority of our time thinking about stuff that just doesn't matter.
Well, and it never comes to fruition. I remember learning, you know, talking about worry. I remember learning as a kid that most of the shit that I was worried about never even came to pass. So why give it that energy? Why worry about something? Now, I'm not saying, you know, be ignorant, not worry about things, but things that actually might, you know, come to fruition. Don't worry about shit that, you know, you're wasting your energy over a lot of this crap, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, you can't live in hypothetical. I've met people that something happens, good news or bad news, and they immediately run down this road of, you know, what if it all falls apart? And it's like, whoa, why are you doing that, man?
Why are you sending it out there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny, too. Like, fear, I don't know how I feel about it, you know? Is fear good or bad? Well, I think if you, you know, look at the caveman, then fear is probably a good thing. Like, the caveman needs to know that if he goes out after dark and he's doing stuff outside, you know, tiger can eat you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tiger bad, we fear tiger, we stay in the cave during night, and then we go out and hunt during the day. Well, that's good. Good for the species, good for the family. A little bit of fear can be a good thing. But what if that caveman was so overcome with this fear that he refused to go out during the day and he chose to rot and starve in his cave? it's amazing how fear can be both good and bad, just depending on the severity. Fear should motivate you to move and tell you when to stop, you know, but fear should never be what comes between you and doing what you know you have to do.
Yeah. And in reality is, Nick, and you know this, and everybody that is listening should know this, we're not here very long. In you know, big scheme of things, why are you not going for it, taking chances, you know, and stepping out of your comfort zone and taking that step forward? I remember listening to a podcast. I don't know if you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, but I was listening to him, his podcast, a couple months ago, and he said something pretty profound, and it's scientific. He said, 1 in 400 trillion. And I'm thinking, what the hell is this guy talking about? That's your chances of being born. It really is your chances, and there's, you know, science behind the statistics and everything. So when you really think about it, and I think most of us take it for granted, and I do sometimes, why are you living in fear? You know, you got to go for your dreams. You got to go for what you want in life, because you don't, there's no repeats, right?
Yeah. You know, and we can sit around and talk about, you know, afterlife and what happens and streams of consciousness and the cosmos and all this stuff. But what we know is we're provided this time here and now. We know it's ours to take, and we don't have enough time to delay. We don't have enough time to wait. We don't have enough time to let fear of failure keep us from doing things that we want to try.
Yeah.
That time doesn't exist. It's the one currency that we can never get more of. We can only spend. We must spend it wisely.
Yeah.
You know, for me, that's one thing that I've really tried to incorporate. You know, I was actually saying on a podcast, I was like, man, if you're intimidated by something, if you are afraid of something, then that's a great indicator that it's the exact thing you should be doing.
Exactly.
And I was saying this on a podcast, and that night, my friend, another SEAL, he was telling me, he was like, Nick, there's something you've been talking about doing a long time and you haven't done. And I was like, what is it, man? Call me out. What do you got?
You out.
he goes, you've been talking about stand-up comedy.
Are you serious? That's cool.
Yeah. Because, well, I'm a public speaker. I use a lot of comedy in my talks and stuff. And the idea of having like a really tight five or like a polished material, getting out there, you have to do nothing except for make them laugh. And, you know, I, as a motivational speaker, it's interesting because you don't get the feedback from the crowd. There's no noise someone makes when they're more motivated, really. They can shout stuff wrong. But laughter is something that you can't keep from happening. So when you make people laugh, you get that feedback. And it's one of my favorite things about speaking. So he's talking to me about this. I was so convicted. And I was like, you know what? Check. So I reached out to a friend of mine who was doing comedy, asked him to introduce me to somebody who's, you know, doing sets. And that night I got in contact with the person that was doing booking, talked to him, said I wanted to try a set, and I was booked at the Comedy Store in Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
That night. When I didn't go on that night, but I had my date.
You had your booking. Yeah.
And then I had a solid like 3 weeks to put together a set and try it out and this and that. And that was one of those things. It's like this bucket list isn't something we should wait till we're 60 and get the bad news about cancer. It's something we should be checking off now.
Love
you know, the second that was on my list and my buddy called me out, I got it done. And I was really proud of that because I had just been saying that stand-up's the scariest thing. I mean, I jump out of an airplane twice before.
Isn't that amazing?
It's so scary. it's amazing how, because you're in there, you know, it could be brutal, you know?
Well, you got to gauge the audience too and see, test some jokes, see what works, move on if it doesn't.
And you really can't test them until you're in front of them, especially the first couple times. I mean, you are testing your material. So, you know, it was so scary, but I was really proud that I was able to, you know, back up something that I was saying and not be hypocritical. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of when that story where this mom takes her son to Gandhi. And says, hey, can you tell my son to quit eating so many sweets? You know, it's not good for him.
Yeah, and, I've heard this story. That's a great story.
Gandhi looks at him and says, great story. And he says, come back in a month. So they come back in a month. And she goes, hey, so can you tell him to stop eating sweets now? And he goes, yeah. And he looks at the son, hey, quit eating sweets. And she said, why didn't you say this a month ago? And he was like, well, I needed to stop eating sweets.
I need to practice like, what I preach.
Yeah, you can't get the, and it was one of those situations. I was like, I'm such a hypocrite because it scares me. I got to do it. And that's the mentality that you need in this life, man. Yeah. You know, you're looking out the door. You got your parachute on, beautiful wind outside. Just jump. You know, that last step's the only hard part. The rest of it just comes. You just got to jump.
Yeah. I love it. Let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about the great work you were doing with Elite Team Performance.
Yeah. It's a good time, man. When I told you about that back injury, well, that was a career ender for me. I had separated from the Navy and I was contracting in the Middle East at the time. And I loved the work, you know, it was great. And then that happened to me, right? I didn't do it. I didn't leave the work. It happened to me. It was ripped away from me.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, we need purpose in our life. We need to know why we're waking up in the morning. We need to know that we're adding value. We need to feel like we're serving something bigger than ourselves. These are things that are just in our DNA. We cannot outrun them. And I was like, what is my purpose going to be? And it was really tough. I started looking at the work that I had enjoyed before. And even though I wasn't going to be working with a gun anymore, I was like, you know what I really liked about it? I enjoyed teaching at the training detachment. I really enjoyed teaching. And I loved mentoring and then helping people out. And then I got a phone call from a buddy who invited me to come and join him on a trip doing some public speaking stuff and some teamwork, team building drills. And I think it was like 3 weeks after my back surgery, I was with the Miami Heat basketball team working with them. And it was just phenomenal. So I got this insight into what it could look like. And then I ended up getting into the corporate side of the house and just teaching team dynamics. It's just been kind of an addiction, man. I really enjoy helping people get from A to B and then taking some of the special operations concepts that I learned in my time in the Navy and then injecting those into different organizations, whether it's in the NFL or Silicon Valley. It just doesn't matter. You know, like when it comes to how like dynamic teams and how they function, you could talk to a bobsled team in Switzerland or you could talk to a rugby team in New Zealand or you could talk to a tech team in Silicon Valley. They're going to say the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the laws of physics. It doesn't matter what hemisphere you're in. It's going to work. And like we were talking about before, it's such an interesting time in business specifically because, you know, 50 years ago, the average lifespan of a company on the S&P 500 was like 40 years. Companies lasted forever. And they had vertical, rigid hierarchy communication structures, functioned very much like the conventional military in you know, World War II times. That's pretty much where it was taken from. Whereas nowadays, the average lifespan of a company on the S&P 500 is only 12 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's rapid innovation, globalization, everything's changing, automation more than anything. It's just completely disrupting the space that if you have that vertical hierarchy, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
You have to have a horizontal communication structure with systems of empowerment, people making decisions in real time, much like law enforcement. And much like the special operations community, you know, the officer in charge isn't sitting there at telling the breacher how to blow up a door. He's saying, hey, here's the scheme of maneuver. Here's what we're looking at. Breacher up. And then the breacher takes over. And that's the same kind of mentality that works really well in the corporate space right now. So I've had the pleasure of working with law enforcement, working with, fire departments, you know, working in pretty much every industry, and man, it is just, it fills my cup, you know, I love it.
Well, that is so awesome. And like, you can come back, Nick, like if you were talking about, it goes back to that mindset, you know, cultivating that right mindset that you learned in the teams and in childhood, and then maybe able to adapt and overcome. And now you're doing great things. And let me just throw out there that you went to Harvard too, bud. I mean, you were like postgraduate work was from a little school called Harvard, I think, right?
Yeah, which nowadays when I drink, my pinky stays out for some reason. I don't know why. I think it's broken. Yeah, that was a fun experience, man. I would recommend it to anybody. I love being around people that are more talented than me, you know, smarter than me. I showed up to Harvard, man. I saw what smart looks like. It's so easy to stay humble, you know, when you're like in the SEAL teams or places like Harvard or, you know, NFL teams, stuff like that. It's just so easy to stay humble when you have people that are so awe-inspiring.
And everything we've been talking about, you've put in your book, Elite, written by you. All these great habits learned from you, a former SEAL. Where can people find this book? First of all, tell us about the book. I think we've been talking about it in roundabout ways, you know, this whole entire interview. But tell us about the book.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do, it's hard to scale yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't be in everywhere at once. And it was kind of my effort to give everyone a little bit of insight about what it means to be elite. You know, what do elite people have in common? And I did write it from a position of humility, and it's incredibly authentic. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to see a lot of weakness because I'm honest about those things. There's a lot of people out there that they're like, yeah, well, I'm amazing and I got it done and that's what it is. And they're pounding their chest, but it's a lie. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what, if you look at my resume, it's sick, right? You got all this amazing bullet points on there, but what it doesn't say is the fact that I barely passed swimming, got rolled back multiple times in butts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a Navy SEAL, but what about all those failures, sure. all those setbacks? You know, had I stopped, then that failure could have become one of my bullet points. But because I kept going, I was able to craft my own bullet point and the other stuff kind of fades away. So I wanted to really, you know, illuminate what it looks like to fail, what it looks like to just have to claw tooth and nail through this life. And I gave a lot of emphasis on structure, how to structure your life in a way that's optimal. Some of the stuff we've even talked about in this podcast, but there's a lot more in there. You know, how to pursue mentorship, the value that creates, kind of the X factor that's going to keep you going when times are hard. Man, it was too much fun writing that book, and it's been such a joy to have it out there and get the feedback and hear from people what it meant to them. So much so that I'm already working on my next one.
I was just about to ask. That's awesome. Now, where can people find Elite if they want to check it out?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably get it from your Barnes & Noble local, but for the most part, man, just get it online. It's so much easier these days. But, you know, Amazon's a great resource, obviously. Maybe you could throw a link up with the pod.
Yeah.
Obviously, you can follow me, Nick Hayes Life, at Nick Hayes Life on pretty much any social media, and then I have links for it there as well. But anywhere you can buy a book online. And there's even an audio book. I recorded it myself. Oh, dude, it was too much fun. It was like 3 days in a recording studio. So yeah, it's anywhere that you can buy a book.
So what's next? You talked about you're working on, you know, your book. You got amazing things with EliteTeams.com that you're working on. Anything else? I mean, you have a little bit of a resume. I'm just kidding. What's next for Nick?
Yeah.
I don't want you to give away any secrets if you don't want to tell any secrets right now. But, dude, I mean, you're doing amazing stuff.
There is one thing that's really big that I'm actually flying out to try to put together next week, but I can't share it.
All right, cool. I'm sure whatever it is, it'll be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be – I wish I could. I really wish that I could. But, dude, whatever comes, you know? Like, I'm so into this life right now. It's just I'm having too much fun. I've seen some veterans – kind of get stifled and live in the past and kind of get stuck in the person they were. But I chose just to turn the page and keep charging hard and see what God has for me, you know?
How did you develop that real quick? I mean, that's all mindset, brother, and you know how important it is. But did you always have that mindset, you know, I'm going to overcome? I know you talk about being bullied as a kid, and you're laughing now, not the people that were laughing at you. How did you develop that mindset? Was it just around the right people? You know, what was it?
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring up some of the bullying stuff. But yeah, I think moving around a lot, I had to develop some muscles.
Sure.
Like the comedy muscle. That's something that you use as a defense mechanism to break into crowds. It's a strategic tool. It's a muscle I had to grow. The ability to move forward and move on and dominate a new space. You know, that's something that I had at a very early age. Whether it was nurture or nature or both. And then it was really built up with that next play mentality in the SEAL teams, because that's kind of the way that we live. But yeah, my identity isn't built in, you know, what my clothes look like, what I wear, what I do for a living, my hair. None of that has anything to do with my identity. My identity is in finding new ways to do things and innovating and adapting and then enjoying the process. One of the differentiators that I think I learned from being a little guy, from being in tough situations as a young kid that I've really been able to capitalize on is levity. You know, like if you're going to laugh, there's a couple different reasons. You know, if you have this challenge that's way above your head, it's up there. There's a couple things you can do. You can use mockery, which is essentially grabbing that challenge and bringing it down to your level. But that can be dangerous because you might not be giving that challenge the respect it deserves. Mm-hmm. You might get worked. you know, or you can use levity, which is rising to that challenge, lifting yourself up. And levity is something that I've been able to capitalize on. I've been in firefights in Afghanistan and made a joke, you know, and that's because I've been crafting that skill, and it makes it really easy to fail because it's not affecting my identity. You know, this is true. If you can laugh at the demon has no power over you.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Nick, any final words of wisdom you can give the listener before we take off?
Yeah, I would say if you heard something that you like and you're feeling a little bit motivated right now, you're feeling like maybe you need to make a change, do it right now. Do it right now. If you were thinking about maybe reaching out to someone and thanking them, here's something you did for me, here's something that really helped me become a better person, then pick up your phone and text them right now. Don't let it go. It's in these moments where we have a little bit of passion, we have a little bit of motivation. Man, that's that ball starting to roll downhill. Give it a kick.
Yeah.
Do something right now. Don't put it off or else it won't get done.
Well, Nick Hayes, you're the man, brother. Much success to you in the future. I would love to have you back on the show whenever your big secret is out there in public domain. For all of you listening out there, go to eliteteams.com. Check out Nick and his amazing team, what they're doing for all kinds of organizations out there, and pick up his book. Nick, it's been a pleasure, buddy. Be safe, and I hope to talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Patrick. This was awesome, brother.
All right. Take care, brother.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.